In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 21st chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever done something so stupid that you can't even figure out why you did it? You knew it was wrong, but you did it anyway. And what's worse, you had no good reason to do it. And then once you've done it, it's like all of a sudden your mind comes back to you. And your only thought is, why did I do that? How could I be so stupid? As you think more and more about it, fixating on your stupidity, you come up with ways, well, to prevent it from happening again. You try setting boundaries, avoiding certain situations, if you will. And everything seems to be working fine for a while, and then it happens again. And here you are, even more foolish than before. Because not only was the thing itself dumb, but you knew it was dumb. You even tried to prevent it from happening. And now here, you've gone and done it again. Add this stupidity to the shame you feel before God. To you, it's stupid. To God, it's a sinful rejection of Him and His Word. To you, it's a thing of the flesh, perhaps not even particularly all that harmful to anyone. But to God, it is an assault on your soul, more harmful and deadly than you could possibly imagine. What's more, it all comes with a truckload of shame and fear. Fear that others might actually realize how stupid you've been. And fear that God might actually give you what you deserve. Finally, on top of all the stupidity, shame, and fear, there's everything else in this life that's working against you. The demands of work, paying off your loans and bills, the church's financial need, the beggar on the side of the road, your own son or daughter who suffers from addiction or depression, another school shooting, tax hikes, cancer, a blizzard, even the death of a loved one. Oh, and by the way, there would better be presents under that Christmas tree this year, and they better be good. There's just no rest, is there? No break. No peace. No calm. So what do? We try to make some calm for ourselves, right? We try to escape. We flee into the fantasy world of pornography or into a drunken stupor or into a drug-induced high. We run away from our families, our problems, our fears, our shame, and try to hide in our smartphones, tablets, gaming systems, or television programs. And then, having done any number of these or countless other things to cope with everything, we find ourselves right back where we started. Back at our own stupidity. Of course, none of this fixes the problem. None of this takes away the pain or even frees us in the least. It's into the darkness of this messy world that the prophet Zechariah cried, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Rejoice. Shout out loud. That's hard to do When you're caught up in your own sin and stupidity and shame and fear and the never-ending cycle it brings with them. Yet knowing the darkness of this world and the lives of his people, the prophet still cries out. Why? Well, because the king is coming. The one who promised to set everything aright. The one who walks through the valley of the shadow of death and yet fears no evil. He is coming, righteous and having salvation is he. But then the prophet adds, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. That is, he's not coming like other kings you might expect. He's not coming the same way you tried to get rid of your stupid mess. He comes with no force. He comes with no anger. He comes not in pomp and circumstance, might, beauty, or persuasion. He does not offer earthly wealth, or power, or even popularity. And if you look at him with anything, any of his kingly attributes that you've come to know, you will surely miss him. We are tempted by this every day. How often do we say aloud or in our hearts, and we just like it all to go away? And we are so naive when it comes to sin that we think that we can actually fix all of our problems. We think that if we just elect the right president, our country will be calm and stable. If we just adopt the right education program or curriculum for our children, then they will be safe. If we get the right pastor for our church, it will grow. Just one more drink, smoke, injection, image, video, or game, and the pain will go away. But that is not how it works. That's not how any of this works. Your king doesn't ride into Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey, to simply make it all stop and go away. Rather, Jesus rides into Jerusalem to enter into your suffering, your pain, your sorrow, your guilt, and even your death. He doesn't simply take away your taxes or your cancer or your addiction or your sufferings or evils that you face. But he does enter into them. He rides into that hospital room. He rides into that prison cell. He rides into the darkness of depression, loneliness, heartbreak, guilt, and despair. He rides even to the hell of death. He humbly subjects himself to your world, this world of sin and suffering and pain and death, and he lets them do their worst to him. That's the sort of king you have. He does not leave you. He does not abandon you. In holy love, he rides on to the cross for you and for your salvation. He freely endures and willingly endures your whips, your thorns, your mocking, spitting, nailing, shame, guilt, pain, suffering, agony, and death. This king, your king, took on the form of a servant and loved you unto death, even death upon the cross. And there, on the holy cross, he trampled down death by his own death, and he shattered the walls of your prison, and he has set you free with his own precious blood given and shed for you. And here and now, today, he comes to speak his words of peace. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. Your shame is covered. And your stupidity is nothing more than that. Your sins are forgiven. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness of this world is passing away. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having salvation is he. So join with the crowds of Palm Sunday, this Advent one. Sing forth your hosannas, for you know exactly what sort of king he is and where he goes for you. And best of all, he comes again to you today. He advents himself in bread and wine, forgiving your sins and shame and stupidity, and giving you that peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard your hearts and minds forever in him and him alone. Your king comes to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.